as well. I want to follow up or finish up last week real quick, because we're going to solve all the world's problems here this morning. Hallelujah. Right? So really quickly, I wanted to end. Last week, we were talking about how can we be more effective in Canada? What can we do to care for our people in Canada? The last point I wanted to talk about was hunger here in Canada. Believe it or not, folks, there is a lot of people that are struggling with not getting enough. Statistically speaking, and you're going to get a bunch of these things here today, 13% of Canadians live in a state of insecurity. 1 in 7, believe it or not, live in poverty. Nearly 15% of people with disabilities live in poverty, and 15% of single elderly are living in poverty. 1.3 million Listen, children live in conditions that are in poverty. That's 1 in 5 kids. And this is in Canada. We're not talking about places like some third world country. We're talking about Canada. It's interesting because I've got a real heart for the Indigenous people, for First Nations. And I'm really trying to encourage us to be involved. And there's a whole lot of problems going on in that community. Statistically, 1 in 2 First Nation children live in poverty. 1 in 2 is incredible. 40% of our Indigenous children in Canada live in poverty. 60% of Indigenous children on reserves live in poverty. See, here's the thing. There is a problem. And I don't want to just talk problems here. I want to talk solutions. But it's interesting that where we are at. Go to the next slide, please. More than 1/3 of the food banks here are used by kids. I found that amazing, that most of the people that are hitting up our food banks are children. 1 in 7 of those using shelters in Canada are children. Actually, there is, if you don't know about this, there is a homeless shelter, a tent city here in Surrey. I don't know if you know about that. Radhika, are you in the house? She just left. Okay, Radhika has actually gone out. Oh, there she is. She's gone out and she has provided soup for these people. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. But folks, there is a great big need here in our own city. What can we do? What can we do to deal with poverty in Canada? Any ideas? Is there anything we can do? Okay, get involved. So how do we do that? How do we get involved? By giving, by doing. You see, here's what I'm thinking. If everybody did a little something, just a little something, you don't have to do it all. But if we all did a little something, we could make a difference in our country. And I think that's important as we look at all of these different areas, folks, as we look at just social concerns in our world. If we all did a little something, we can make a big difference. So I'm going to jump now to my topic today, because I want to be very conscious of time. As I said, we want to solve all the world's problems today, and we've got 45 minutes to do that. So we're talking about Beyond Our Borders, a Christian's response to world issues. I find it amazing, actually, if you went back to World War II, there was a lot of things happening overseas, but it's interesting what was happening here in our own country. And these are pictures taken from that period of time. And life went on as normal, didn't it? There was people were in school, they were traveling. I love this picture. This is a picture of a early World War II playground. Wouldn't you love to put your kids on this playground? This was considered safe back then. I think that bar is probably about 30 feet above the ground, and that kid is sitting on the middle of the bar there. Nothing wrong with that picture, is there? Interesting thing, it was going on as normal, but overseas, it was a very different picture, wasn't it? There was a lot of things that were happening overseas that people maybe knew about, but you know what, it's not my concern. Life is good, thank you very much. I'm happy where I'm at, and they just kind of put it in the back of their mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Listen, you know this verse. It says this, each of you should what? Come on, somebody read it out. Wow, I heard a murmur. Let's do it together. Each of you should not. But, oh, wow, we got to get this together, folks. I'm just saying. See, here's the thing. We've got to look beyond just ourselves, and we've got to look beyond our little bubble. We talked about this before, and begin to look at what God can do through us to reach a world that is going through a lot of problems. Let me ask you this question, okay, before we get deep into this. Biggest concerns right now. What is your biggest world concern? Homeless, sorry. The possibility of another war? Trafficking? Hunger? Terrorism? Poverty? Environment? Persecution? I heard somebody over there. Violence? Drugs? Big problems, very real problems. You know, this question was asked by down in the States. It was asked to millennials. What is the biggest problem? But wait a minute, before I get there, let's just step back a little bit. The world problems are a little bit different than first world problems. You ever notice that? That first world problems can be just a wee bit different than third world problems. Now, just for fun, I'm hoping that we have this here. Do we have that video? Can we fire that video up there just for fun? If it's there, it should be on the stick. If not, then we'll just skip it and do it at the end. First world problems are maybe a little bit different than a lot of problems in the third world. Here we go. Like I said, we got serious problems, just blackouts. Okay, well, we'll leave it for now. It's a great video clip, and we'll see if we can do it another time. But here's some of the real first world problems, believe it or not. Did you know that our first world problem is low population growth? Did you know that? Like, we're all screaming about the population is exploding. How are we ever going to feed our hungry and stuff like that? Well, here's the problem. In many countries, Germany, Japan, South Korea, Lithuania, man, I live in. See, that one a couple of times real fast. The population is growing smaller than the death rate, and it cannot sustain the next generation. And we're not far off. So what's the answer to that? Have more kids. Hallelujah. Get married, have kids. That's a good answer. That's a great answer. A second problem. This sounds dumb, but people are getting dumber. Truthfully, first world, a problem. People are getting dumber. See, here's the thing. We all are so incredibly dependent on these things, aren't we? Our cell phones. Sorry? Get rid of it. No, it's my left arm. We are so dependent on technology that we don't even know how to figure out basic stuff at times. And in the years prior, the truth is, people had to somehow make it work without. So what's happening is that, yeah, right, we're becoming more dependent on other things than our brains. Third first world problem is growth of our artificial intelligence. I found this very interesting, that there is a growth right now in artificial intelligence that is surpassing the usefulness or the use of individuals. So things are being, I got a big list here of 12 jobs robots are taking over the fastest. Now that's really hard to see, but there are a number, and see, and I don't have my glasses on, shame on me. Engraving, farm working, property, travel agent. By the way, you might not have a travel agent in the future. It'll be a computer doing it for you. It's doing it now. How many of you guys plan a trip on the internet? I did one this week, right? Didn't go to a travel agent. Custom, like a whole bunch of things are being replaced or jobs being replaced by artificial intelligence. This is a first world problem. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. What do we do? Well, let's get people involved in some way, right? Another first world problem, number four, is superbugs. It's interesting how many times we run to the doctor for any little thing. Huh? We get a sniffle and we're running to the doctor. And the doctors are giving us medication and they're giving us penicillin and all that stuff. Well, here's the problem. You can only take so much of that before. Now, I've got doctors in the house. I'm sure I do. That it's going to affect you. So you'll no longer be able to get well using these different things. It's interesting. I have a cousin who is in Africa. And, years ago when he was a child, he used to go outside and with his sisters, and they used to play outside in the dirt and all that stuff. How many of you know that some places are not clean to play around in areas like this, right? Well, you know, there was another missionary that had children around the same age, and they forbade them to go outside and to play in the dirt. Guess who got sick? The other ones, right? We have to develop an immune system. I know this is not Sunday morning, you know, Bible preaching stuff, but it's stuff that we have to be aware of. So folks, don't always run to your medicine cabinet when you got a headache. You know, maybe it wouldn't hurt to run to the Lord first. Are you hearing me? I'm serious. Like we are quick to look for a quick fix. But sometimes God is saying to us, you know what? Go and talk to me first. Okay, so these are first world. Let's go into the 10 biggest world problems. This comes from a group of millennials, and they said some of the 10 greatest problems right now they consider to be in the world. And we'll walk through some of these. Number 10, lack of economic opportunities and employment. So 12.1% says this is a big issue and we need to deal with it. And here's a picture of some people sitting outside looking for work. Safety, security, well-being. 14.1% says this is a big world problem. Number 8, lack of education. The little caption below there, if you can read it. 95% of schools across India lack right to education infrastructure. There's a challenge in some of these areas. Number 7 is food and water security. We talked about that a little bit. Number 6, government accuracy or accountability and transparency and corruption. Big, big problem. See some protesters there in one of the countries down south. Number 5, religious conflicts. This is a picture of a church that Boko Haram burnt down. 185 churches they burnt down in one state in Nigeria just not so very, very long ago. Number 4, we've all talked about this, poverty. We'll talk more about poverty in just a second. Number 3, inequality, so income discrimination and so forth. Number 2, large-scale conflicts and wars. And here is, now don't go there. Don't press it up. What do you think is the number one problem that millennials see in our world? The number one problem. You looked at the last 9. What do you think is? Environmentalism. Exactly. Climate change and destruction of nature. The millennials, which if you know who millennials are, they're the 2030s, okay? They believe this is the number one problem. I'm going to hit this really quick, but I'm going to talk about it because I don't think we've ever talked about it in the church. And I think we need to talk about this for just a second. Okay, can I just say very clearly, it's a farce. It's a farce. Okay, and I'm going to give you the reason why it's a farce, okay? It's interesting, folks, because if you tell a lie enough times, people will believe it. And unfortunately, our younger generation has bought into this hook, line, and sinker, and it first came out. You know when it really, really first hit the scene? Does anybody remember? Okay, I'm gonna cut you short, Stuart. We got it quick. Okay, so here's the thing. Here, I agree with everything you're saying. It's been around for a long time, but it really hit the scene with Vice President Al Gore. Okay, and he wrote a book back in the 90s called An Inconvenient Truth. Okay, and it would be nice if there was actually truth in there. There was some. This was a story not back in the 90s. It was back in 2006. Forgive me. I want to get my facts straight. It's interesting. He did this book. He wrote this book, and then he did a subsequent movie on it. And did you know that this book and the movie actually went before a court? It went before a judge in the UK. I don't know if you guys know that, but it did. Before Judge Michael Burton in the UK. And after reading the book and after getting some information back to him, they found at least 9 fallacies, complete fallacies. By the way, if you want, there's all the information is on that website down below. I think it's on your paper as well. I want to burn through this really quickly. Let me give you a couple of them. Why we know that this whole crazy thing of climate change is just a farce. Gore stated that there was a scientific study that showed polar bears had drowned by swimming long distances, I'm quoting, long distances up to 60 miles to find ice. It's one of the problems. He says, we have a problem up north because the ice is disappearing. So what they did is they did some research into this, and the judge found that the only study that showed that any polar bears had died was 4 polar bears that had died or drowned because of a storm. There was no polar bear swimming 60 kilometers trying to find ice. It was a lie, 60 miles, should I say. Actually, if you go talk to the people up north, they say the polar bears are doing very fine. Thank you very much. Melting of ice. You know what's interesting? He said in his book that the ice in Antarctica is going to melt and the water level is going to rise 20 feet. Okay? Last week, I was listening to News 1130, and they were talking about the fact that Vancouver is going to be underwater in a few years and Stanley Park is going to be an island. I heard that on 1130. Folks, I hate to tell you this. It's a lie. It's a lie. Man, see, here's the thing. We've got to educate our people in truth. I believe in truth. Here's what NASA said. Al Gore, step aside for a second, because this is what NASA said. NASA said, since the late 1970s, the Antarctic has gained an average of 7,300 square miles. On September 19th of 2014, NASA said, Antarctic sea levels has extended beyond what it ever has extended before. In other words, the ice isn't melting, it's growing. So wait a minute, if all that ice in Antarctica is melting to raise the sea level, why is it growing? Can I just follow up with one quick more thing? There's other stuff I could say here, but there was a study done in the UK. And by the way, you can have all my notes on this stuff. I'll give it to you all. It shows, now listen, it shows, are you ready for this? There was a warming trend up to 1878. Then it cooled down to 1911. Then there was a warming trend to 1941. Then there was a cooling trend to 1968. Then there was a warming trend to 1998. Are you seeing a pattern here? What's going on? It's cyclical. We are seeing warming and cooling. So all this to say is, folks, can I encourage you? Our generation needs to be educated properly. And we're being fed lies. It's not just evolution. It's this garbage. We got to be teaching them. And I'm going to put a plug in here right now. Our kids are upstairs right now needing some good, solid education. And they need you. They need you to help out there. We need teachers in the worst way. I can't even tell you how desperately we need teachers. So parents, if you got kids, look out. I'm coming after you. Okay, because I need you up there to teach. They need to be taught truth. Okay, I want to jump away from that. I want to talk about some of the key things here. Lack of economic opportunities and employment. I'm going to give you a whole whack of statistics here. If you want to write them down, you can. If you don't, that's totally fine. There's 197.1 million unemployed people in the world in 2015. In 2016, that number jumped to 199.4. Almost 200 million people that do not have proper education, or sorry, that don't have employment. But listen, interesting. There are nearly 500 million, listen, 500 million new jobs, or we need to, let me step back again for a second. We need to create 500 new jobs by 2020 to sustain what's going on. But now, let me just say this, globally, listen, globally, 38% of employees are reporting difficulties filling jobs. We've got a lot of jobs there that are out there. 38% are saying we can't fill this. And yet we have almost 200 million people without work. Why do you think this is the reason? Education. Doesn't it all kind of work together? Doesn't it all kind of make sense when you look at it together? Folks, we need people to be educated. There's a lack of education, which brings inequality, which brings dangers and safely and well-being and all that stuff, and adds to poverty. We need to be, so how do we deal with this educational problem? How do we deal with it? How do you deal with the educational problem in Kenya? You have to train teachers in order to teach. So how can you do that here? What can you do? Support the missions. Get involved in Child Care Plus. Like, there's this practical stuff. It's not rocket science that I'm bringing to you folks here this morning. It's just practical stuff that we can do to make a difference. Okay, wow, let's jump to the next one. Let's jump to poverty. So much more I could say here. And there's so much I can say about poverty, but let me just throw some statistics out there. Nearly a half of the world lives on less than $2.50 a day. Think about that. You go out and you buy yourself a coffee and you're paying more than that, okay? More than 1.3 billion people live in extreme poverty, less than $1.25 a day. 1 billion children worldwide are living in poverty. 22,000 children die each day due to poverty. Does that make you angry? Boy, I sure hope it does. I sure hope that makes you angry that there are so many people in this, and it doesn't have to be that way, folks. It doesn't have to be that way. So, you know what I find so incredible? Let me just read you a verse, first of all. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. You remember this? Remember this verse? By the way, that picture up there you see of the kids? That's a picture I took when we took our students onto a reserve up in central BC. And I tell you, I want to do it again. Just saying, guys, prepare yourself because we're going up there. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 says this. Somebody read it out loud. Who's saying this? What does it mean? What does it mean? When you're reaching out to others, you're reaching out to Jesus. He's saying, listen, feed the world. Do something. Do something. Okay, here's what we're doing. I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip, but you know what? I'm gonna throw it out anyways. Canada throws away more than 6 million tons of food a year. That's 14,438 tons or 32,876,000 pounds of food a day. Remember when you were a child, maybe not some of you don't remember this, but mom said, eat up your food because there are starving people in Nigeria or wherever, and you said, mom, be quiet, right? The reason I bring this to your attention is we are big wasters. We are incredible wasters. Tim Burton, a professor at the University of Leeds, said this, the waste that we throw away in Europe and North America is equal to all the food that sub-Saharan Africa produces. Folks, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27 says this, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them will receive many curses. How do we tend to close our eyes to the poor? Apathy? not doing anything? What do you think that we suffer some curses because of it? Yeah? Yeah, I think that our country could, we are blessed because we do help others, but if we don't, we've got an issue. And hey, I'm reading it from the Bible. But he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. Let's talk water for just a second. You all go to your faucet, you open it up, you pour a glass of water, you drink it. 1.4 million children, listen, die each year due to lack of not enough water supply or not enough drinking water. 1 in 9, look at that water that guy's drinking, eh? 1 in 9 people lack access to safe water every 90 seconds. A child dies from a water-related disease. We've been here now for about an hour plus. Do the math. So, water is a big issue. Is there anything we can do about poverty in our world? Is there anything we can do? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge problem. If you didn't hear that, the problem is not having enough food, it's getting it to the people. You see that certainly in areas like this, like Sudan and areas like that where you have terrorists that are blocking. And we'll talk about a little bit more about that in just a second. But we can do something about it, folks. And I think the key is connecting with the right people on the ground that are in those areas, connecting with those people that are there. And if you are not involved in sponsoring a child, if you're not involved in something like that, man, you got to do it. It is so rewarding to get these letters from them and to find out what how you're helping. See, poverty leads to poor sanitation. And you know, you don't really talk about this in church, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. 1 in 3 people lack access to a toilet in this world. 1,000 children die per day because of diarrhea diseases due to poor sanitation. That was in 2013. 1 billion still practice open defecation. You sit there and you go, I don't know if you ever say, thank you, Jesus, for my washroom. I do. I know, it may sound weird, but I thank the good Lord. This picture that you see up in the top corner, there's a picture it's not the picture that I took, but it's similar to a picture of where I was at in Mexico. And I couldn't quite understand it because I was in this community and I saw this river. It wasn't like a real big river, but I saw this stream going down the road. You know what I'm talking about, Rudy. Rudy was there. And I looked at it, and I think I may even have asked you, Rudy. I said, what in the world is that water coming from? I don't see any waterfalls. It hasn't rained in a while. And it was simply sewage running down the road on the side of the road. We have no idea about that stuff here, but it's a very big reality in a lot of these places. So what happens is these people that don't have proper sewage and stuff like that, they're going on in the bush. And what is happening in many places, especially India, where these ladies are going out in their areas to do their business, they get raped or molested or things like that. So you look at this and you go, okay, that's over there. But can I please encourage you? There is ways that we can be involved. And I'll get to that in a second. Another problem that we face in our world that has been mentioned here is large, and that was mentioned from the millennials, large-scale conflicts and wars. There are 22 military conflicts in our world today. What's the result of that? You see the little red dots? That's where the main military conflicts are going on right now as we speak. What happens is that according to the UN, there are 21.3 million refugees in our world today. 40.8, if you can go to the next slide, I think I got that up there. Yeah, thank you. 40.8 million are in what is called internally displaced camps. Michelle and I, a number of years ago, we went to an IDP. They're called IDP camps, internally displaced people. And what it was, there was a war going on. These guys were forced out of their home and they were forced into these camps. Has anybody ever been in a refugee camp before? A couple of you, a few of you have. We were in there and I thought, oh dear Jesus. It wasn't a bad camp, the one that I was. This one's a bad one. It wasn't a bad camp that we were in, but I thought, here's people that their home is literally only a few kilometers away, but they're not allowed to go back or else they get killed. And I looked at the resources. We had a family here, by the way. They've moved on. He's pastoring a church. They spent 18 years in a refugee camp. That's a long time to live in a place like this. So we have 40.8 million people worldwide in refugee camps. We have 3.8 million asylum seekers. We have 65.3 million worldwide folks today that have been displaced or something like that because of refugees. So what do we do? What do you do about this incredible, incredible need worldwide? What do you think? What do we do about the refugee situation? Find a reputable organization that helps. This last week, I had the privilege, and prepare yourself because I'm hoping to bring these guys to our church. I had the privilege of sitting with Mel Weeb and a man from Colombia. Did you know that there are more refugees in Colombia than there now, there's a toss-up between Syria and Colombia. Did you know that there are so many refugees in Colombia that it had surpassed the refugees in Syria? Anybody know that? I did not know that. I was blown away. I'm trying to get this guy to come speak. This guy that was speaking there, he was caught by the guerrillas, and he was chained to a tree. Anybody ever want to be chained to a tree? He wasn't chained for a tree for 1 week. Or 1 month. He was chained to a tree for 5 months and because of his faith. And I looked and I thought, what can we do? I tell you what you can do. Find a reputable organization. We sponsor one that goes out right now. They go out every day and they feed 50,000 refugees a day in northern Syria. And that's Mel Weeb's ICR thing, what his company there. So please, folks, missions is important. When we do a mission service here, we do it because we want people to be engaged worldwide in some of the needs. Okay, I want to end up with, I got two more. And I really, really, really want to focus on these last two. I think these are the biggest world problems right now that as a church we need to engage in. First of all, there's the persecution. 200 million Christians in over 60 countries around the globe are facing persecution. 1 in 10 of the 2.2 billion Christians in the world are facing persecution. We got no idea. Okay? Seriously. We don't have a clue of some of the things our brothers and sisters are going through. And we need to be aware of what is happening. According to Open Doors USA, each month, there are 322 Christians that are killed for their faith. There are 214 churches that are destroyed. There are 772 forms of violence against Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Come on, somebody read that for me. So here's the thing. If one part suffers in the body, Do we feel that pain? Are we praying for our brothers and sisters? You know what the persecuted church wants from us today, folks? They don't want a lot of stuff. They don't want a lot of money. They don't want a lot of pity. You know, does anybody know what they want? Prayer. Prayer. They want you to pray for them. And they don't want you to pray that, Lord, get them. Get those persecutors and strike them down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. They're not asking for that. They're asking, Lord, would you change their hearts so that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior? Folks, we need to pray for the persecuted church. And I want to talk about that in my last point. Don't fire it up yet. But I want to tell you what I believe is the number one world concern that we as Christians need to be engaged in. The number one world concern. And I believe, folks, that is this. Fire it up there. That is salvation. See, here's the thing. Poverty is a reality. We need to do what we can. Trafficking, I hate it. It's a reality. But everything is temporal. Our spirits are eternal. It's interesting. Yesterday I was at a memorial service, and I found it very interesting because these people were not believers. And yet they all believe that the spirit lives on. There is an understanding that there is eternity in some capacity. And we need to pray for folks. We need to pray for there are 16,600 ethnic groups around the world. There are 6,700 people groups that are still considered unreached today. That is a lot of people that don't know Jesus. That means there are definitely no missionaries, and in likelihood, no outreach, no Bibles, no Christian materials, and few, if any, Bibles. You know, it's interesting because in Venezuela right now, which is a communist country, which they talked about at this thing that I was at last week, in Venezuela, there is a desperate need for the things of God. You know what they're crying out for right now in Venezuela? Bibles. Send us Bibles. Send us Bibles. Please, we need the Word of God. They're crying out for the Word of God. Listen to this, folks. This statistic is very sad. 99.7 of all mission activity and financial support are directed toward where the church already is. Listen. Only 0.3% of our resources are allocated to where the church is not. And the place the church is very weak in is what is called a 1040 window. And that is that area 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north, that area in Africa, Sudan, that whole area is where the most amount of non-believers are found and where the greatest amount of pain is. 2/3 of the world population live there. 90% of the world's poorest of the poor live there. 95% of the people in that area are unreached. 95%, approximately 1.5 or 1.6 billion of these people have never had the chance to hear the gospel of Jesus, not even once. I want that to sink in for just a second. 1.6 billion have not heard the gospel even once. 5 pennies. If you have a nickel in your pocket, 1 nickel of every $100 spent on missions goes to that area. That's it. Yet there's 1.6 billion people. My heart's for missions. If you don't know me yet, you're going to get to know this in me. My heart's for missions. My heart's for that area, the 1040 window. We have 2 missionaries that are there right now that are doing incredible work. Very difficult what they're doing in that area, and I can't say much more of that because this is being recorded. But I tell you, we need to be praying for the 1040 window. We need to be praying for that 1.6 billion people that don't know Jesus. So what do we do? I've fired a whole bunch of stuff at you this morning. So what do we do? Help me out here, folks. What do we do about this incredible amount of need worldwide? Support the senders. Get involved. How can we get involved? Money. Like, seriously, I think there, you know what? I'm going to say this unashamedly. I think there is a lot of money in people's pockets that you're not, that God is telling you to give, and you are keeping it for something else. And I think that's a sin. I believe that. Because, see, here's the thing. And I'm not asking for your money for myself. Believe me, I'm not. Okay? But I'm saying there's 1.6 billion people that need Jesus. And you and I have a responsibility. God's put you in this country because you are the one that can make a difference over there. And I believe as a church, you know what I find? Now I'm on a high horse here. You know what? I find it so sad that so few churches are involved with the persecuted church and with outreach to this area in the world. I find that incredibly sad. I'm thankful that this church is involved. Actually, ICR said to me that we're one of the few churches across the country that are supporting ICR. I think that's sad. Folks, we need to be involved in some capacity. Okay, give me money. Is there any way else that we can be involved? Go. Thank you, Perez. You've been there. Look, come on, folks. She's 84 years old. 86? Sorry, Perez. She's 86. She's heading out to the Philippines again. That, by the way, is in that place there as well, okay? And she's out there doing what she can. If an 86-year-old can do it, we can do our part. We're doing missions worldwide. We're trying to do some trips coming up. Get engaged, folks. Get involved. See, here's what it says, and I want to bring this to a close. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And I pray, this is our prayer from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who will go? Who can I send? Word says, and I said, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me. You know what? I tell you something. When I prayed that prayer and I said, God, I surrender everything to you, I honestly thought God's going to send me to some wild place and I'm going to get strapped to a tree and killed. I honestly believe that. Maybe not so much strapped to a tree, but I thought God is going to send me someplace and I'm going to, my life is over. You know what? When I prayed that prayer, my life began. And God started doing things through me that have been incredibly exciting. Paul said, man, I've fought the good faith. I've kept the faith, and I finished the fight. He was excited about what God had done through him. It wasn't an easy life, but God wants to do exciting things through you and me. The last and the most important thing I want to say here today is the way we can get involved is to pray. And I want to end our time together here this morning, folks, by doing exactly that. I have no music. We don't need music. We don't need anything else. I need you to stand with me at this time, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. And here's what we're going to do in closing today. Yeah, you can stand. In closing today, I want you to pray out. I want you to pray, and maybe a few people can just lead us out in prayer in closing here together. And anything that I have said in the last 2 weeks that has stirred your heart, by the way, if God has stirred your heart in any way, praise the Lord. If you feel convicted in any way, praise the Lord. If God is calling you to do something in any way, praise the Lord, do it for him. If God has put something on your heart, let's take a few minutes here just to pray out.